Now, as I promised at the outset, I want to sing the praises of my favourite national institution, our splendid National Library in Canberra. The stories about how libraries are trying to do the impossible to capture the online life of a nation, and for centuries the British Library collected copies of every book, pamphlet, magazine, newspaper published in Britain. These things are easy to collect compared to the ephemera, the ever-changing nature of the internet. The British Library is bound to record the British life of the 21st century via websites, e-books, online newsletters, blogs. In fact, any website which has the suffix UK. Although law was passed in 2003 to enable the library to do this without having to ask permission from every single website, it's taken further legislation and technological preparation to get ready for this task, which begs the question, how is the Australian National Library faring in their task of recording our life online this century? Well, surprise, surprise, not at all. As far as I'm concerned, we're a trailblazer in this area, even though the proper laws and legislation have not been passed. The National Library has been doing a remarkable job. Paul Kerbin is manager of WED Archiving at the NLA, and he joins me now in our Canberra studio. Welcome to our little wireless program, Paul. Will you preserve us?
We'll do our best, Philip. Thank you.
There's a digital black hole the British Library are talking about, where vast amounts of information are disappearing each year. They give the example of the first reports of the 2005 London terrorist bombings. They've apparently disappeared. Mm-hmm. So we have an urgent problem.
Indeed. I mean, and that raises one of the most important issues about trying to tackle the task of collecting web materials is you have to be timely about it. You can't wait. That's where we at the National Library have been something of a trailblazer, in that we were one of the first to start web archiving activity right back in 1996. Even though we couldn't do it particularly well, we couldn't do it all, we couldn't do it on the scale we wanted to do, we felt we had to get in straight away and do what we could. So undoubtedly we have not collected a lot of material, but there's a lot of things going back to those very early days that we have got, and that's what the British Library is.
How do you make your choices, Paul?
Well, we've had guidelines, you know, that we try and follow. What we do is try and prioritise what we do. So we're trying to assess things that we think have long-term research value. That, of course, is all very well and good, but practically everything has long-term research value. The little shards of ephemera, the invoices, the things that, you know, that have survived from antiquity that come down to us as shards of pots or inventories from Hittite trading, you know, those things have great value. So if you think about the internet, I still
write letters on little clay tablets. I sit and incise them and then send them out.
Absolutely. But I mean, to answer your question, what we do is we have to be very alert to what's happening. I mean, a website that may not have been of interest yesterday is of interest today because something happened. So we have to be quite reactive about it.
Tell me about the British Library's web harvester. It's sort of robot mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think what they're talking about now with the fact that their legal deposit regulations come into force this month, so they can really ramp up what they're doing. I mean, they've been web archiving since about 2004, with the help of us, actually, because they started off using our software to do it. But what they're talking about now is being able to do it on a much larger scale than they have been doing. So there is harvesting robots that were specially developed by the Internet Archive. It's a not-for-profit organisation in the US that's been around since the mid-1990s. And it's really an enterprise-strength, industrial-strength robot that's a bit like a Google indexer, if you like, but instead of just indexing the content, it takes a copy and keeps it and puts it into these big packages called WARC files, and that's how we can then go on to the next and difficult task of actually preserving that material.
I've been around long enough to see technology after technology rise and fade. You know, I've just dumped a couple of thousand VHS and Beta tapes, for example, and I'll soon, I guess, be dumping my DVDs. We're living in a world where, you know, digital information is not as robust as one might imagine. There must be certain frailties and dangers ahead.
Well, indeed, and you know, when we talk about archiving something, we really have to understand what we're talking about here. It's not a matter of just making a copy, putting it on a disk or a flash drive or something like that, or a hard drive, and putting it on the shelf. Really, the whole business of collecting the material is just the first process, and in some respects the easiest process, because then we have the task of how we preserve that over time. And as this material becomes, the formats become obsolete, how are we going to deal with that? How are we going to provide access to that material over time? So when you undertake these tasks, and that's why it's one of the reasons it's been a struggle for a lot of institutions, is you have to make this commitment to sustainability, to be able to do this over time, and have programs, have strategies for that long-term preservation and ultimately access to the material, which is what it's about.
I'm talking to Paul Kerbin, who's the boss of web archiving at the National Library, and this is LNL on RN. Before he committed political suicide, Simon Crean announced the government would be extending the Copyright Act so that the NLA will be able to collect digital material without worrying about legalities. This must be very good news for you, Pete. Paul.
It is indeed. And ever since we started our web archiving program, it's been something that we've been pushing for. Of course, we have legal deposit for print material. That was in the Copyright Act, which is 1968, so that shows how far back we go, or the nature of the Act. It certainly doesn't deal with digital material in terms of legal deposit. Although the principle of legal deposit, of course, goes back 100 years, but in Australia, it was in the first Copyright Act in 1912. But the announcements by former Minister Crean, and it was a joint announcement by the Attorney General Mark Dreyfus as well, because legal deposit actually in Australia, it comes under the copy, it's in the Copyright Act, which is different from the British situation where it's a separate act. So it's actually the Attorney General that is responsible for that act. So it was a joint announcement by the two, but it's part of the Creative Australia National Cultural Policy that that the government has certainly expressed its intent to ensure that digital content is collected and preserved.
Paul, someone with a sense of mythology and also of humour named your archives Pandora.
Yes.
Well, it's a great name. What's in Pandora?
All sorts of problems, I suppose, ultimately, but a lot of terrific stuff too, a lot of hope. What we have is It's a large collection now, although what it represents compared with everything that's been published on the Australian web is it's only a small part of that. But we have which we prioritise things. So there's a lot of material that's like about political life. We do all the election campaigns. We've done that since 1996. But we also try and get a broad coverage. You know, we do quite a lot of blogs. We do all sorts of...
Well, I note with interest, and I must say with approval, that you got Margot Kingston's first blog from the 21st of September 2001, unsurprisingly, yep, about boat people and the upcoming war in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And I'm not as shocked as I should be by the fact that Pandora captured the 2000 Sydney Olympics website, which has since disappeared.
Mm-hmm. The 2000 Olympics was, one of our really big achievements, because that was quite early in our archiving days, and it was a big challenge, because not only in terms of actually having to secure the rights, we still have to go out and get permission to do it, to do the archiving, so we had to go to some, a lot of big companies to get their permissions. But then there were the technical challenges. We archived.
Paul, who could possibly say no to you or the National Library?
Well, a few people do.
Yeah? John Howard apparently isn't one of them, because you've captured his prime ministerial website from 88 to 2007, the first PM to have a website. And you note that the photographs became, well, they evolved in that John began seated behind a desk far in the distance and ended up centre frame, taking up the whole shot.
And, I mean, I think that illustrates one of the important things of, you know, not just capturing something at its end of life. You might say, well, okay, the site's finished now, let's send it over to the National Archives or a depository like that. But because we captured it four times a year over the whole lifetime of the Howard administration, you could actually see how the web changed over that time. You can see how the Prime Minister presented himself through his website over that time. So, and not only that, and then there's the content as well. So it's becomes a really terrific resource. And of course, you know, we even captured the closure notice on the website of that at that time. So, you know, once he lost government, that site disappeared, you know, within a day or so.
I regard that as a calamity and a tragedy. I wish I'd kept it myself. Okay, tell me about Brewster Kahl, K-A-H-L.
Brewster Kahl is an inspiring person indeed. He's a digital librarian, he's a technologist, engineer, philanthropist. He established the Internet Archive in the mid-90s, around the same time as we were setting up the Pandora Archive. And what he did with the intention of collecting the whole internet, he has a company, or had a company called Alexa, which is an indexing and analytical company. And then,
I'm sorry, the whole internet, the lot.
That's right.
100% of the internet.
Well, that's the idea. And what the Internet Archive does, it gets content from this indexing agency. So, you know, when an indexing agent, like a Google-type thing, but this is Alexa, it collects content so that it can index that content. And then it says, well, he's got all this content. What will I do with it? So then he created this archive of it. Rather than just throw it away or hide it, he said, I've collected this material, let us make it all available for all time. So it's grown out of that, and basically they have harvesters that crawl the internet constantly trying to collect all of the content and make it freely available.
And is how much of your stuff can one trawl? How much of it can the ordinary punter get into?
Well, most of, pretty well everything that we collect for Pandora, for the Pandora archive, we can provide access to, because that's what we negotiate when we get the permissions.
Right.
There is some content that is restricted for a period of time for commercial reasons. That's the conditions under which we obtain the content. But generally, it's all accessible.
Now, if Brewster Kahl and Paul Kerbin are so busy hoovering in everything, sort of godlike, really, why do we still need libraries? And please have a wonderful answer for that question.
Well,
I mean, you might be asking the Senate Estimates Committee.
Well, who is going to do this? As I've suggested earlier, there really needs to be a will to undertake this task, and you need an institution, I think, that has the role, it has the mandate, has the functions to do this. I mean, this is all part of the library experience. This is where we are on the world today. We need to organise it. What we do is, we, as a library, we have expertise to curate this material to ensure that it's preserved, and we provide access over time. The materials are different. You know, we're certainly moving towards the digital age. There's still lots of other material, print material that we're collecting.
Okay.
We're digitising material.
I'm convinced. I'm now going to give you 10 out of 10 and the rarely awarded koala stamp for your efforts, Paul.
Thank you.
thanks for popping in. Paul Kerbin. Paul's the manager of web archiving at the National Library of Australia, and of course it's connected with all the other great libraries like the Library of Congress, etc. And coming up, we're going to revisit the whole idea of Mahatma Gandhi. He's not just some remote saintly figure in history. He's of urgent relevance to the politics of the 21st century, as my next guest on LNL will reveal after just a little bit of music.